praise thee, Lord, for thy great plan, that we thy dwelling place may be.
Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry. Witness Lee emphasized the experience of Christ as life and the practical oneness of the believers. He was unbending in his conviction that God's goal is not narrow sectarianism, but the body of Christ. Through his messages in these life studies, he stressed the importance for us to grow in life and to function as Christians so that the body can build itself up. We're happy to bring you recorded portions from his ministry today, along with some of our own thoughts. And we welcome your comments and questions. You can reach us toll-free at 888-LIFE-STUDY. That's 888-543-3788. Now let's join today's program.
John chapter 2 gives us the account of the first miracle performed by Jesus at the beginning of his earthly ministry, the changing of water into wine at the wedding in Cana. We saw in our previous program that this miracle represents the changing of death, signified by water, into life, which is typified by cheering wine. This establishes a strong principle at the outset of this wonderful Gospel of John, the principle of the divine life of God, which all of God's people received, experienced, and enjoyed, which is to change death into life. But then immediately after this account, we are ushered into the temple, which represents the house of God. Why, after the changing of death into life, are we brought to the house of God? It is so that we could realize that the goal, the purpose of the divine life, is the building of God's house. Welcome to the Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program furnished by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. This is Matt Miller, and Gary Kaiser is with us today as we have the pleasure of bringing another gem from the Life Study of the Gospel of John to our listeners. Gary, welcome to the Life Study program. I've been anticipating your joining us for some time, and you've got a wonderful portion from the Life Study of the Gospel of John to get into today.
Thank you, Matt. It's very good to be here. I really am happy to be here, and I feel that this is really a marvelous portion to see what is the purpose of life.
Gary, let's spend just a moment before we go to Witness Lee and get into the details of the Life Study to reflect on what was mentioned in the opening, and that is that the divine life of God, which all believers received when they're first born again or regenerated, has a goal and a purpose. The first case, the wedding at Cana, gave the Lord Jesus the perfect setting to introduce the matter of the divine life, didn't it?
Yes. In the past, we may have taken these events as just something that John remembered and put in as a kind of interesting review of what he experienced with the Lord, as though the Lord were just doing various things. But here, specifically, it mentions it is a sign. The sign indicates that there's a purpose for what John is presenting. And his purpose is directly related to this event, which was the matter of the water being changed into wine. Actually, if we look at it carefully, we realize he introduced this by saying the third day, indicating already that he has anticipated the matter of the resurrection life. So the event that brought into view is water, representing, as you introduced, the death, and wine representing the living element now actively involved. So what we realize here is that that event presented to us the principle of life, that is changing the death into life.
So that's the principle. Let me read some verses as we get into the purpose, and that's John chapter 2, verses 13 through 16. And the Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and he found in the temple those selling oxen and sheep and doves, and the money changers sitting there, and having made a whip out of cords, he drove them all out of the temple, as well as the sheep and the oxen, and he poured out the money of the money changers and overturned their tables. And to those who were selling the doves, he said, "Take these things away from here. Do not make my Father's house a house of merchandise." Gary, this is a well-known passage from the Gospel of John, but I think we're about to see it developed in a much more meaningful way than we have probably ever considered it before. Here's Witness Lee.
This section of the word is so short, but it has two aspects which both are quite meaningful. The first aspect is the cleansing aspect, and the second is the building aspect. With the temple of God, there is the need of these two aspects, the cleansing and the building. Now, God's enemy, Satan, always tries two things to damage or to frustrate the temple of God. Number one, to cause it dirty with so many sinful things. So this is why the house of God needs the cleansing. Number one. Number two, God's enemy always would try to damage, to tear down the temple of God. Today, with the church life, it is the same. Satan always tries to get the church life contaminated, dirtied, with so many worldly things, sinful things. And then Satan will always try to damage, if possible, to tear down the church life. Satan, he's always busy. Whenever there's a local church set up, Satan would be busy to come in. If we don't have the experience, we'll be much concerned. But let me comfort you. If the church in which you are has been contaminated, you shouldn't be discouraged. You have to say, "Lord, now is your time. Now is your time, Lord. You have to come in." Satan's contamination only brings your cleansing.
Gary, Satan is always doing his best to contaminate and defile God's house, but we need to see that this is just providing an environment for the Lord to have his way, isn't it?
Yes, this is really an enlightening word that Brother Lee has given us. For us to see that this is the way that the house is developed, actually, Satan becomes a help in the building of the house, because every detail that he brings against the house becomes an opportunity for the Lord to build that house. We can only turn our whole being to the Lord, give him the opportunity to do what he does, rather than to try our best to deal with these situations. For example, we ourselves become contaminated with worldly things. Things come in, things destroy the operation of God within us, and many times we become very discouraged. We're very much feeling our defeat, and we feel like we are just a disaster for the Lord's purpose. But actually, that feeling should turn us to the Lord and realize he is the one who's able to deal with the enemy. We are not, and we don't need to be. So his purpose is being worked out, because in that very process, we ourselves have something removed from us of the old nature and of the worldly nature, and he brings in his very essence to replace that. In resurrection, we are lifted up, and he is glorified.
Thanks, Gary. In this next section, we're going to see that Satan's goal goes beyond just contaminating and defiling God's house. His goal is to damage it and ultimately destroy it. Let me read John chapter 2, verses 19 through 21. Jesus answered and said to them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Then the Jews said, "This temple was built in 46 years, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" But he spoke of the temple of his body. So the key point here is that both the Lord's physical body and the temple are designated as the house of God. Here's Witness Lee.
The cleansing is not so crucial as the building. Satan, not only busy in contaminating the church, but in tearing it down. This is Satan's goal. Jesus, when he was in the flesh, his body was the temple of God. Satan knew this. He knew that this body of the little Jesus was God's dwelling place on this earth. So Satan did his best to tear this body down, to destroy this body. And he did. And in a sense, Jesus let it go. Okay, Satan, do your best. See, what can you do? You just do your best. But whatever you do would just afford me a chance to do something further. Okay? Satan destroyed this little body. And after Satan's destruction, this little body was put into the tomb. And this little body rested there. We know the story. Jesus rose up. The Lord Jesus is always more prevailing than the enemy. Don't be scared by the enemy's doing. Many times, we don't need to pray that desperately. We better say, "Satan, do your best." Praise the Lord, Satan. You just would afford another chance for my Lord Jesus to overcome you.
Amen.
This is the best prayer. Don't be scared by Satan's doing. The Lord Jesus got to know that the Jews were trying to destroy him. He didn't pray, "Oh, Father, save me." He didn't pray this way, but he told them, "You do your best. You try your best to kill me. You be assured, I tell you, after you kill me, I'll be bigger." Yeah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Who can frustrate the Lord's purpose? None can.
Well, Gary, I really appreciate this portion in the Word, that what the enemy damages or even apparently destroys provides the Lord Jesus in resurrection the chance not just to restore, but even to enlarge. We need not fear what Satan can do.
Isn't that wonderful?
It's awesome.
We do not have to fear. This is such an encouraging word that our brother has given us here. In John 1:14, we're told that the body of Jesus, that is, Christ, was tabernacling among us, indicating that his body is the tabernacle of God. And here he introduced the matter of 3 days, destroy this temple and I will raise it up, indicating that the temple here is his body, which he will raise up from the dead. That's what John's comment is. This he spoke concerning his body. What we see here is that the Lord Jesus was absolutely clear what he was doing. There was no hesitation on his part, no fear that something was going to happen to him that would be so terrible. He rather is in a situation where he is working very strongly to defeat the enemy. So he, in a sense, as our brother shared, he invites the enemy to come do your best, and I will raise it up in 3 days. The Jews couldn't understand that, of course, but we see that in 3 days he raised his body. But it's more than that. That body is also the full composition of all of the members of Christ's body. Today, it's enlarged to such a degree. So he not only raised it up, he enlarged it. He made it a glorious body, and actually it's still being built in these days. What a glory to the Lord, and what a joy to us. The enemy can only give the Lord opportunity to do more and to express more his glory.
What an encouraging portion. It's almost like the Lord is telling Satan, do your best.
Yes.
And I'll make it better.
Amen.
No matter what the enemy can do, the Lord uses it against him. So let's go on to our final word with Witness Lee here today. We want to focus in this on the significance of the Lord's word, and in 3 days, I will raise it up. Here's Witness Lee for the conclusion of today's life study.
The more the enemy tries to do, the more he affords the opportunity for the Lord to do something more.
Amen.
The Lord doing is always in resurrection.
Amen.
In 3 days, I will build it up.
Amen.
That means what? In resurrection. And we all have to know from the day of his physical resurrection, he has been and still is doing the same thing today, to enlarge his body. My goodness, what an immense body Christ has today in his resurrection. That little body killed by the Jews was just not more than 200 pounds. Do you know how big the body of Christ today is? My! An immense body.
Amen.
And the Lord's still building.
Amen.
And the Lord's ready, expecting Satan to help him. Let the enemy do whatever he can. But whatever he does would just afford a chance for the Lord to do something more in resurrection.
Amen.
The enemy could never beat the Lord Jesus down. Even the church he built, the gates of Hades, can never be prevailing against the builded church.
Amen.
And the church is still going on. And the church is still growing. Praise him.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let the enemy tear down. We will see the victory.
Amen.
And we will see that not only the Lord Jesus is prevailing, but also the church is prevailing.
Amen.
I really appreciate this word. Let the enemy do his best. We will see the church is prevailing. The enemy always tries his best, Gary, so we shouldn't be surprised or discouraged, but the gates of Hades cannot prevail against the builded church.
What a word this is. The Lord Jesus making that statement just is such an encouragement to us. The gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will build my church. This reminds me of the Apostle Paul's word in Ephesians. In the last half of chapter 1 of Ephesians, he opens up the matter of 3 items. He would like the disciples there to realize, to see, to have their eyes opened. Number one, what is the hope of his calling? Number two, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? And number three, what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe? All of this consummates in the body of Christ, which in 1 Timothy chapter 3, we see the body of Christ is the house of the living God. So we have the realization here, the building of the house is the building up, the constitution of all of the members of the body of Christ into one great corporate man. Here, that body is the church. It is the house of God. So that building up depends upon the resurrection life. So as Paul said, this power toward us is that resurrection life. It's the life that raised Christ from the dead. Hallelujah. It's a life that seated him in the heavens. It's a life that put everything under his feet. It's a life that gave him to be head over all things. And all of this is to the church, his body. This is the builded church. This is God's house. This is God's intention. And we are here participating in that. Then Satan is doing his best to tear that down. He's doing his best to bring in problems, issues, situations. But we should never be discouraged by these things. Rather, we can be fully confident. Whatever he can do, the Lord can do more. The Lord is fully capable and is operating to do it. So we're not here in a fearful way. We're here enjoying God building his house, and we're here laboring together with him for that building up of that house.
You know, Gary, I want to point out to our listeners that this is Life Study of John, message number 7, printed message 7, which can be read in its entirety on the Living Stream Ministry website. If you go to lsm.org, you can go to the Life Study of Witness Lee, Life Study of John, message number 7. And I want to read the conclusion from the message. It says, in the changing of water into wine, the principle of life was set forth. Now, in the dealing with the temple, the purpose of life is shown. The principle of life is to change death into life. The purpose of life is to build the house of God. The principle of life is for the purpose of life. The changing of death into life is for life's building, the building of God's house. These two points govern the whole Gospel of John. So we can see from this message a principle and a purpose. So we're headed into the rest of the Gospel of John, where the Lord's life meets the need of every man's case, which is a real classic gospel. But you have to remember, as we get into all those cases, there's a principle and a purpose. I want to give you a chance to give your final thoughts before we run out of time here today.
Well, what I was considering, even as you were fellowshipping, is that we see that the house is central to the purpose of the divine life. What God is doing in his resurrection is not simply overcoming by coming out of the grave, but what he's doing is building the house. The house is central. So as you indicated, all these cases are furthering this vision of the house being built. The resurrection life is actively and powerfully operating for the building up of God's house on the earth today.
You know, the Life Study of John has an outline in it, which is really classic, that has two sections to the book. The first section is life coming to us. The next section of the book, starting in chapter 14, I believe, leads to him bringing us into God.
Amen.
And so one is for the building, and one is to meet our need. One is to meet God's need. This is really a classic in the ministry of Witness Lee, is to present the Gospel of John. I just love this book.
Amen.
Thanks for being with us today, Gary, and thank you also for listening, wherever you're listening, and we hope you can continue with us through the life study of the Gospel of John. If you'd like to get more information, you can call us at 888-543-3788, or you can email us to radio@lsm.org. As I mentioned before, you can also listen to these messages online, all of them from the Life Study of Witness Lee at www.lsm.org. Also from there, there's a link to the printed messages. So the printed messages are all available. In fact, Witness Lee's original speaking, unedited, is also available at that website. So there's a lot of information there available for you. You can also write to our physical address at Living Stream Ministry, P.O. Box 2121, Anaheim, California, 92814. On behalf of Gary Kaiser, this is Matt Miller. Thanks for listening today.
Do you want to know the deeper truths of the Bible? Wish you could attend a Bible study, but just don't have the time? Well, if you enjoyed this program, then we invite you to visit our website at lsmradio.com. From there, you'll find programs on every book of the Bible and all free of charge. These programs will not only give you a more profound understanding of the Scriptures, but also refresh and revitalize your daily Christian walk. From our website, you can download the MP3 files, stream them live, or subscribe to the podcast. Again, all free of charge. Once more, that website, lsmradio.com. Thanks again for listening.